Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
6 minutes past 9 o'clock, Phil Menichian for Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. Time for another friend of the show, a good friend. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a founding member and trombonist of the band Chicago. He's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, two-time Grammy winner. He's Jimmy Pankow. Jimmy, welcome back to WGN. How are you?
I am happy as a clam to be working and busy on the road. We got through that pandemic. We used some of that time to create new material and make a new album of original songs, which was incredibly fulfilling. And that'll be out mid-July. We'll be busy all year, thankfully, and throughout the summer with our good friend Brian Wilson. And we'll be coming into Chicago, and I can hardly wait.
Yes, Sunday, July 24th, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park. Cannot wait. How's the tour going?
The tour is slamming. We have an incredible lineup, a supporting cast of extremely capable musicians, and the band is better than ever. The audience has been having a great time. We're doing great business. We're selling out all over the place. And it's so great to be back on the road and a busy year at hand.
Yeah.
So what can I say? I'm a lucky guy. I make a living putting smiles on faces.
Yes, you do.
Chicago is always a highlight because, of course, that's where all of this started.
Yeah.
And we feel that hometown vibe when we walk on stage in Chicago. So we're looking forward to being back and celebrating another summer in the sun.
There you go. Let's go back to the beginning for you. You were influenced by your father, who was a musician as well, correct?
Yes. Unfortunately, never able to fulfill that destiny. He had studied piano for many years as a kid, and he became very good at it. But unfortunately, he had a bad experience with teachers who poo-pooed any attempt at him having fun and jamming or stretching his boundaries and just being able to boogie-woogie and, you know, and have a good time on the instrument. So they stifled him to the point where he finally went, man, this is a drag, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't have fun with this.
That's a shame.
It's all calisthenics. It's all classical, duty. So he finally hung up the cleats and moved on into other things. I had no idea of his depth of musical ability until one day I bought a piano, a big old upright piano, because while I was a student at DePaul as a trombone player and arranger, I realized that I was hearing things in my head. I was hearing song ideas in my head, but I needed a polyphonic instrument and the piano or guitar to manifest the full scope of these song ideas. So I bought a used piano, and they set it up in the hallway on the main floor of the house. And I came home from a gig one night. It was late, and my dad was asleep in his favorite chair. The TV was still on. And I closed the door and, quietly went upstairs to get ready for bed. And I guess I woke him up when I walked into the house. And I'm upstairs brushing my teeth, and I hear a dooga-dooga-dooga-dooga. I'm going, what the heck is that? And I hear a little more. And then I hear, I mean, Fats Waller was in the house playing piano. I'm going, holy cow, what the heck is that?
Wow.
I ran downstairs, and I busted my dad. And he says, Jimmy, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to keep you up. I said, no, keep going. Keep going. This is amazing. And he just let loose on that piano. And I stood there with my jaw hanging open, realizing for the first time what a musician he was. I knew that he had the gift because he celebrated what I was doing. He came to the clubs when the band was in town. This is way before we left for California or started a record career. But he'd get off of work, and I'd see him at the bar, and he'd be singing along with the band, and
wow.
He got it.
Yeah.
He totally got it. I mean, it was so obvious, and the guys were going, who is that guy? I went, that's my dad. They're going, you're kidding. Man, your dad is grooving. He's totally getting this.
That's awesome.
And I said, oh, yeah, I know. I mean, like father, like son, I said, there's no doubt about where I got this gift.
Yeah.
So after realizing his gift, he and I had bull sessions all the time. And, he'd come home from work, and the family would finish dinner, and he and I would go in the living room. One night it would be Count Basie. One night it would be Woody Herman. One night it would be Buddy Rich. He'd school me. He'd say, hey, man, you hear that? You hear that? You hear what those guys were doing? You hear that phrasing? I mean, it was like unbelievable. He mentored me, and I realized that he never got a chance to celebrate his gift.
Yeah.
So he decided to mentor me and celebrate my gift. And that fulfilled him. He couldn't celebrate his own path, so he wanted to encourage me to hopefully accomplish what he was never able to.
That's a great foundation to start. Oh, my goodness.
That relationship made, I should say that that tutelage, that mentorship, made our relationship very special. And we enjoyed that until he passed away. I'm sure he's still smiling down on what we're doing because we're going to do this. I laughed. I said, I'm going to do this until they take my driver's license away.
And he's smiling when you're front and center with the spotlight on you, just going crazy on that trombone. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, man. Let me lose.
More with Jimmy Panko from the band Chicago, filmmaking for Dave Plyer here at 720 WGN. 919, filmmaking for Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. Fun fact that you may not know about the band Chicago. We're talking with Jimmy Panko, by the way. The band has sold over 100 million records.
Yep.
That's nuts.
And they, to this day, they continue.
Jimmy. Wow. 100 million records.
I never would have believed it.
Yeah.
When we walked into the studio at CBS in New York to record Chicago Transit Authority in 1969, we were like a bunch of scared little kids. You step in front of that microphone. I mean, we're in the same studio that Sinatra recorded in, and it's like, holy cow. This is going on tape forever. Mm-hmm. We better not make any mistakes. And, you know, we thought about what was going on, man. And we were thinking, wow, wouldn't it be great to have one or two albums?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And here we are, 55 years later, well over 100 million albums later. And it's a phenomenon we never would have imagined.
Yeah.
Ever.
21 top 10 singles, 5 consecutive number one albums, 11 number one singles, 5 gold singles, 25 of your 37 albums have been certified gold, 47 gold and platinum awards. Jimmy, this is quite the resume, my friend.
I'll tell you, I'm too busy to puff my chest out. You know, I'm busy looking at that next thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's the pull.
Yeah.
You never get to the point where, okay, I've done it. Okay, now what? There's always more to accomplish. And, you know, that's what drives us.
Yeah.
It's that quest for excellence. You know, and Phil, mortality is a reality.
Yeah.
I mean, how much longer can we do this?
Yeah.
That performance is a very physical performance.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, it's very aerobic, and it's a challenge.
Yeah.
And in the summertime, you know, you're on stage, you're outside, it's the middle of July or the middle of August, it's 95 degrees, you know, 90% humidity. And I'm huffing and puffing on a trombone for 2+ hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, how many more years can we do this and do it well?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to enjoy every minute of this as long as I can.
Yeah.
Because at some point, we're going to have to say farewell.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to think about that right now. Because we see no end in sight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's another day at the office, another wonderful day at the office.
Thank goodness.
Get on a plane and go on the road and enjoy this.
Yeah, definitely. I have to share a favorite quote of mine that you know well, because I believe you heard it live, Jimi Hendrix. The quote, correct me if I'm wrong here, Jimmy. We're talking with Jimmy Pankow, the trombone player extraordinaire from the band Chicago, by the way. The quote from Jimi Hendrix goes something like this. Your horn players are like one set of lungs, and your guitar player is better than me. Jimi Hendrix said that about Terry Kath. And you guys, the horn section. Oh, my goodness.
You know, and yes, that is a direct quote.
Yeah.
We were at the Whiskey a Go-Go on Sunset Strip. We were opening for Albert King, of all people. And I'm a premier blues man. And we were in the dressing room waiting to go on. This is in 1968. It's before any record.
Yeah.
Before we were anybody. We were still relatively unknown. We were an opening act at the Whiskey. It became kind of our home away from home in L.A., we started all over again doing clubs and stuff, and the Whiskey kind of became our showcase. And anybody, any big acts that were touring through L.A. and had a night off would come to the Whiskey to see what was going on musically in town. And we were the opening act for Albert, and we were up in the dressing room, and we were getting ready to go back on stage, and here's this guy standing in the doorway. And we're going, it's Jimi Hendrix. And that's exactly what he said. He said, you guys have a horn section. It sounds like one set of lungs and a guitar player that's better than me. Do you want to go on the road? And, of course, we said, heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we wound up being Hendrix's opening act for a touring season. And, you know, we'd be on stage and the crowd would be going, we want Jimmy. We want Jimmy. Not Jimmy Panko, Jimmy Hendrix. We want Jimmy. And Walt Scherzinger would go up to the mic and say, shut the heck up and listen. And they did.
You guys were ahead of your time. There's no question about that.
You know, and you know, we traveled with Hendrix and Mitch and Noel and the band. We traveled together. You know, we had four guys to a room in a Holiday Inn, and they had the presidential suite at the Palace Hotel, you know, yeah. And they'd send the car over for us and bring us to their hotel and treat us like kings.
There you go.
And they were the nicest guys in the world. But Jimmy and Terry Kath were very nervous around each other because, you know, they both had such huge respect.
Sure.
It was a mutual respect. And they had this underlying fear of talking shop, you know, because they intimidated one another. It wasn't an unfriendly thing.
Sure.
I mean, they loved each other and everything, but their talents were both so huge, you know, they... They were sometimes uncomfortable, but by the end of the tour, we were talking about collaborating on a record.
Mm.
And then sadly, Jimmy passed away. Mm. And then, you know, not too many years after, Terry passed away.
Yeah.
And boy, just think what that could have been.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
amazing.
But you know, that big break that Hendrix gave us was something you couldn't buy for $1 million. That exposure,
mm-hmm,
on a national level.
Sure.
Without a record. I mean, we wound up playing for thousands and thousands of people that we never would have reached,
yeah,
otherwise.
Yeah, amazing.
We also opened for Janis Joplin.
Wow.
We worked with her at the Fillmore West in San Francisco. And again, an opening act. And she fell in love with us. And she took us on the road on a summer tour as well, after the Hendrix tour happened. So both of those amazing artists gave us huge exposure.
Yeah,
and we remain ever grateful. Right. And of course, that's kind of what started the buzz.
Sure.
In L.A., that word of mouth thing, sure enough. Eventually, record companies started coming into the whiskey to find out who these guys were, you know. And bidding wars began, and we wound up going with Columbia. And in January of 69, went to New York and made Chicago Transit Authority the first album.
Incredible.
And from then on, it's history, yeah, you know.
And you can see history Sunday, July 24th, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park. It is Chicago and Brian Wilson. Cannot wait to see you, Jimmy. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
It was a pleasure. And my love goes out to all of your listeners and all of our fans in Chicago. It's hometown. And we can't wait to see everybody at Tinley Park in July.
And we can't wait to see you, Jimmy Panko. I'm telling you, when he's on that trombone out in front of the stage, the world is his and you know it. It's so good. You got to check out the show with Brian Wilson as well. All right, always a great show from the band Chicago on stage. They got like 10 guys on stage as well. So a definite must.